editorial director at ProMac, and this is the Daily Brief podcast. Today's episode is a replay of an interview I did in August 2020 with leadership consultant Esther Weinberg, developer of a program called The Ready Zone. Weinberg has more than two decades of experience working with executives to help them evolve their careers, particularly in the entertainment space. Esther, in collaboration with ProMax, is getting ready to launch the next cohort of ProMax Next, which has been custom-built to help entertainment marketers with an interest in leadership progress both themselves and their teams. Listen in to hear Esther describe how the Ready Zone and ProMax Next could help you move your career to the next level, and then head to promax.org/next to apply. Applications are due next Friday, March 18th, 2022. Here's my conversation with Esther. I am so happy to welcome back Esther Weinberg. Esther is a leadership expert who has done a lot of work with ProMax over the past few years. She is joining me today to introduce a new leadership program starting this fall that ProMax, in collaboration with Esther, is offering to high potential mid-level executives. It's called ProMax Next, and it's been specifically developed to help managers, directors, et cetera, navigate this strange time where most people are working and managing remotely and are having to deal with a lot of uncertainty. But I am definitely not the expert in this, so let me welcome Esther, and she will tell us all about it. Hello, Esther. How are you?
Hello, Paige. Oh, I'm great during this odd time of fires and COVID and lots of other things that are happening in California.
I'm in Denver, and we're on fire, too. It's crazy.
Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah. The industry is on fire, so we're all in a good way. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, 2020, it's a year of change. So let's dive in. So I'm going to start with your ebook that you wrote, and then we're going to sort of move through it. So we've talked before. I know you wrote an ebook called Why Your Company's Bottom Line is Not Your Top Priority. And at least my understanding is you published it prior to the pandemic setting in, but it seems like it was incredibly applicable to now. So why don't you just tell me all about it and how that sets the stage for ProMax Next.
Well, it's interesting because the book was written, originally created because of all the massive shifts that were happening in the business model of the media companies. You know, if you think about it, prior to COVID, if you think about all the industry and how it was looking to shift their business model and all the mergers and acquisitions. And even though the merger binge slowed, companies were still focusing on figuring out how their organizations come together, what things get kept, what things get tossed. And it was a bit of a crystal ball, which I know you've written about time and time again. You know, when media businesses are looking to be OTT platforms, and really, especially over the last few weeks, you can really see the levels of layoffs and consolidations. And I think Variety was writing about it. You could tell where the industry is going when you look at what's happening recently with Warner Media and with NBC Universal.
Yeah.
And so the interesting thing is while boards and CEOs are looking to keep up, the impact on its leaders and employees, the ones doing the work, enabling the deals, creating the content, getting the work done, creating the creative, are really the people that are really disruptive. They're the impact of the disruption, right, and especially of the technological disruption. And it's interesting because there was in 2019, Deloitte wrote this Global Human Capital Trends Report, and they said the number one reason why people quit their jobs is their inability to learn and grow. But I would say that a lot of it's too because people were commoditized. And while the work has increased, there are sometimes that people were more marginalized before. And I was hearing stories of the last year of the impact of the disruption in the industry that I had never heard I've been in this industry for over 20 years. And so hearing stories like, I'm tired of taking my phone to the bathroom to catch up on my emails, or a woman saying that she had to hire a nanny on the weekends to catch up on her emails, or I had a product that I was talking to came into work after he was hospitalized the night before because of kidney stones, but he felt like he had a meeting that he just had to be at in order to keep on top of things. When I stood out and look at that, I thought, okay, we have to evolve to become more nimble and agile, which I know a lot of people talk about. So we've got to be able, most people that I know are like, how do I take advantage of all the opportunities and challenges coming my way? And being ready is no longer a luxury, it's a business imperative. And while readiness involves like systems and strategy and the tactical execution, you only get so far without placing a potentially high value on employees, and because they make it, because if we make it as critical a focus as the bottom line and to the bottom line, we will have a stronger bottom line. And so it was interesting because that was pre-COVID. Now, if you take everything I just said, you could probably plug and play it to COVID. Just nuance it slightly. So it's the things that are so crucial is interesting because I was reading Gallup did a survey in 2012 and they had researched close to 200 organizations in 34 countries. And they were talking about, they were calculating the relationship between employee engagement and performance outcomes to business outcomes. And what they showed statistically in their research, that it is an important predictor of a company's performance, even in a tough economy. So what they were saying, that they studied the differences in performance between engaged and actively disengaged people. And they said in the top half on employee engagement, nearly doubled their odds of success with those in the bottom half when people were engaged. So that's why I wrote the book. I wrote the book because our focus, while obviously is on profitability, because we're not in a charity, but the way the access to get there has to really be different.
Okay, quick side question. How do you, it seems very logical that if your workforce is disengaged, it will affect your productivity and ultimately your bottom line. But mm-hmm. how do you measure disengagement?
Oh, that's a whole
podcast.
It's probably another podcast, but that's a whole other way to measure disengagement. I mean, one way, which is why we actually created what I talk about in the book that's really incredibly important, is the three things. And one of the three things, reason why I created the Ready Zone, is because trust, respect, and safety, especially psychological safety, are three of the most important factors to making sure that people stay engaged in the workplace. And it was interesting because even in 2016, PwC did a global survey with CEOs, and they said that 55% of CEOs believe that a lack of trust is a major threat to their organization's growth. So if you think about it, we talk about, when we talk about the Ready Zone methodology, that the way to get to engagement is making sure that trust, respect, and safety are actually as valued, which no one would disagree with, but they're actually measured, that you actually have a way of looking at the organization. And that's why we created the Ready Zone, and we'll get into it more, but our zone performance indicators, because there's got to be a way for a leader to even get a daily pulse and not just HR getting a pulse on, is our workforce doing the work? Are they happy in their work or not?
And then what you said before, that in terms of there's been industry consolidation, a disruption, an incredible disruption of the business model. And then on top of it, here comes COVID, accelerating any changes that you were maybe planning for the next 5 years, you might be implementing even now. You've got your whole workforce going remote. And then amidst all of that, how do you implement trust and safety for sure, respect also, but safety being an enormous issue right now. People aren't at work because of safety. And then I'm also looking at Warner Brothers or Warner Media and NBC, both of which just had big layoffs. How do you engender an environment of safety when you feel like my economic safety is imperiled? So it's a tall order, I think, for companies to hit these marks.
Yeah, and I would say I'm talking about psychological safety because it can be in the smallest and biggest things. So for example, I remember when COVID started and I was running a team session, and someone was sharing that, like many organizations, they said after 5 o'clock on this day, we're going to have no meetings, which sounded great and everyone agreed on it. And then all of a sudden 5:30 PM meetings kept popping up on our calendar. And so you say to yourself, and that is, you know, if you think of the small things that mean big things, even if you do that. So when your words don't match your actions, people don't know what they're getting when you say something to them. So if you make a commitment to them and you don't follow up, they don't know what they're going to get on the other end. And that in itself creates a place of a lack of safety. It also creates a lack of respect because you told me something, I'm honoring it, I'm taking you at your word, and then I can't trust that what you tell me is ever going to be accurate again. That's a very small example to just making sure that that's something that anybody can do regardless of level that you're at in an organization too.
Right. So almost just like be true to your word. In a way, it's almost like a four agreements type thing too. You know, it's like just basic courtesy, basic human, be a good person. So you've mentioned it a couple of times, but you've termed the foundation for this education, the Ready Zone. What is the Ready Zone?
You know, it's interesting because I think what I was telling you is after 20 years of working with media and entertainment companies, that what I've observed is when leaders cultivate, they nurture this high level of alignment deliberately and intentionally, they actually create this, what you and I have been talking about, this engaged, powerful, profitable workforce. But they also create a workforce where, and you're seeing it much more today in COVID, where we're interested in actually growing the humanity of others as us. And so they actually, and if, when these organizations operate with this mindset, we're valuing people as not just a high priority. It's, I put in air quotes, measured and valued as a bottom line. They're operating what we define as the Ready Zone. And that's an environment in which the leader, the team, employees, and the organization as a whole are 100% to people feeling valued for who they are, their contribution, and the value they bring to themselves. So what we say that the mission of the Ready Zone is to create workplace cultures where trust, respect, and safety are as valued and as measured as the bottom line.
Full disclosure to anyone listening to this, Esther and I have had a few conversations, well, at least now two conversations about this, but I've been sort of deep into the Ready Zone and trying to understand what it is for a few days now. But I just had this very like clear image of like, oh, the Ready Zone. It's like, I see it as like a spotlight where you're actually hitting all your marks. You've sort of leveled up as a person, as a team, and you're hitting all your marks in these different areas that we're going to talk about. We're going to get a little bit more in detail on that in a bit, but let's stay a little bit high level. Well, actually, it ties in because my question was, how do you recommend that organizations build that level of trust? But I think actually, now that I ask it, the answer is get yourself engaged in these zones. So let me ask you that. How do you recommend that teams and organization build that trust? And that might mean that you can just take off into the zones.
Let's just say something. So to amplify that, we created these six zone performance indicators. So let me explain that for a minute. These six zone performance indicators, they're key elements that an organization needs to build to really refine, grow, develop, and amplify in their employees to build what we're talking about. Now, we have named these zones, so I'll quickly go through them, but we're not going to fully explain each one of them right now because we'll be here for a while. But it's pivot ready, action ready, influence ready, connect ready, impact ready, and culture ready. And they're not in any progression. So there's six. We call them ZPIs, and they're the essential elements we say that's creating this environment of trust, respect, and safety. So let me give you a real brief example. In our action ready zone, if you're unable to create boundaries, then you're going to be stressed, overworked, and have an environment where you don't feel respected. In our impact ready zone, if your team doesn't create what we call a team commitment, which means a commitment for how they're delivering on the organization's visions and objectives for them and the team, they're not going to feel they trust that the work they're doing is making any marked differences. So, that decreases morale and engagement, which completely deters from creating what we're talking about. So those are the kinds of things that we're talking about when and why we created those zone performance indicators.
I think this is just the way I'm thinking about it, and I'm not sure it's correct. But when you say zone performance indicators, which you can kind of align to like a KPI, is there a way that you measure performance in your zone? Like, can you measure how culture ready your team is, or am I being too on the nose about it?
No. Because I've used the word term measurement, and I think we were talking a little bit about it earlier. This is the thing. The work is, organizations are made up of collective of individuals. So for, an organization is simply a collection of individuals, and we have to deal with the ready zone. We deal with individual, team, and organization. So when you talk about measurement, here's a simple down and dirty example. I have a client who created a team commitment. That basically is when, as any good organization, they create a vision for what they're going to achieve. A division of that organization, let's say a marketing team, may create that, like, okay, what do we want to, what's our vision for how we're going to achieve all the things that we need to? But then the team has to come together, and I say, what are you committed to together for delivering on that vision, and how do you make it practical? So we call that a team commitment. But there was a client of ours who actually created a team commitment with her creative team last year, and every 90 days or so, they're using it as a measurement tool for how the team is developing and growing themselves in the business. And are they meeting the commitments by which they determined to work together? And how is that translating into the creative? So that is an example of how they're using something very strategically. That's one of the elements from the ready zone. So the thing is, you have to think of it this way. When you have key performance in the ready zone, when you have zone performance indicators, so for example, I keep talking about impact ready, which is all around growing your team as a way to impact the organization, there's going to be specific goals and measurements you're going to have around that. So a team commitment may be one of them. It may be a way that you're delivering the creative and the level of satisfaction that your stakeholders are having. So there would be mini goals within that that would help you to create measurement. And we train for that too.
And it's probably, custom, because one team needs one thing and another team needs another thing.
Yeah. I mean, I can give you a very specific example because we've talked about it before. So like in action, so much, I can't tell you how many times I've heard in COVID that people are talking about boundaries. There's no boundaries. Boundaries are out the window.
Yeah, totally.
Everyone's working from home. And so it's, have a party. There's, hey, we're going to say everyone can
or
work.
Don't have a party. Yeah.
Yeah. Anytime, because, you can be out washing your car at one time or playing with the kids. Everyone has, because it's interesting, once you take people out of a physical work environment, you can't physically see people. So you can't see how people are working. And so that leads to sometimes leaders thinking that how productive are people and how is my workforce actually being motivated? It's a very topical conversation that people are having today. But boundaries are gone. One absolute thing we talk about in our action ready zone is how to actually do that. So I'll give you an example. Like I was working with a leader who said he wanted to stop the onslaught of work that people were giving him, and especially working on the weekends. Sound familiar? And when we examined what was really happening, he realized that his boss and his boss's boss were giving him work. And yet, when we examined it closer, he was the one really emailing his team on the weekends, giving them work at 4 and 5 o'clock on a Friday, setting expectations to have things back to him on Monday. Well, there, of course, may be things that are important, emergency things that get done. Not everything is an emergency. So we talked about having a real conversation with his boss and his team to share his new boundary, which is no more working on the weekends as much as possible. And working on the weekends would be few and far between and not expected. And that he actually set up, he enlisted his team to say to him, hey, look, to push back.
Yeah.
Like if I'm giving you work on the weekend, say like, hey, wait a minute. You said that we weren't working on the weekends anymore. But he gave them permission to do that, which is very different. So when I say to people, a takeaway from this conversation and to get clear on is when you set your boundaries, number one, think about where they're strong, because that's proof that you can do it and do it well. And those are areas you don't need to tackle. Second thing is write down where your boundaries are weak or where you're permitting others to cross them, or you may not even have any. And then the third thing is identify the one area where it's easiest to enforce it and who would need to be involved. So like with my client, he said he wanted to make sure that on Fridays that he would have this, you know, I'm not sending people things out on the very, very last minute, but he would, it would be an easier get from him if he was already doing it with a lot of ease. So he had a great relationship with his boss. So it was an easy thing for him to have that conversation with her. Also, he had great relationships with the people who reported to him. So that was an easy get for him. Remember, this is a cautionary tale to everybody. Just because you set a boundary, it doesn't mean everyone will align to it. You have to be patient and do whatever possible to reinforce what you have set in place, knowing that it's not going to be perfect every time, because we treat people how we want to be treated. And then we have to unteach them how we've taught them. So that will take time. So yeah. Just to be clear about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to come back on that thread, but I had this image that I wanted to share with you in terms of how I'm seeing these ready, like these zones play with each other. So I'm going to explain a visual image audially. And so I'm sure that will work really well, but anyway, so imagine six interlocking circles, right?
Yes.
So each circle is a zone. And then like, as if they were a six circle Venn diagram, at the center of the circle where all the circles touch, that is the ready zone. So basically, if you're operating sort of at your peak of each zone, then you are in that center circle, and then you're sort of living in that ideal ready zone, which I'm sure no one lives at all the time, but that would be sort of the ideal. That's how I'm seeing this.
Yeah, because if you think of it, the reason why we created, going back to the thing about the ready zone, and just to give people a little bit more to illuminate it, and you can, by the way, the book that we're talking about is available on thereadyzone.com, and you can download it. It's free for everybody who's listening to this. Here's the deal. In Pivot Ready, it's all around the level of how exactly do you move through change, which is a huge subject right now. Mm-hmm. Action ready are elements around your emotional intelligence. How do you set your legacy as a context? The boundaries that you have. How do you really be curious with people? How do you listen more intently and well in order to be able to have that emotional resilience that we need at work today? Then we talk about influence ready, which is all around how do you actually have visibility and influence with your colleagues, with your peers, with those that are that you're managing and those who are, you're managing up to. Then how do you connect ready is all around the conversations that you're having with people and your level of communication, how you're making an impact through that. We talk also about impact ready, which is around how you manage teams. We talk about culture ready, which is all around how do you coach and mentor people inside the organization and create a culture of that. So those, if you think about it, that is when you, if you had that in an organization and everyone was operating in an optimal level of performance in each of those areas, you would be operating in the ready zone. And just think of the level of profitability and engagement you would have if all of those were moving at 100%.
It seems like, if I could sing, I would sing, but to dream the impossible dream kind of, but it's a good goal to have. Do you find that, I mean, if people are coming to you for coaching, I would guess that they're pretty open to it, but do you find that, what state are people coming to you? Are they ready to receive this coaching? Do you find that, I mean, obviously there's probably a range, but you know, when you're trying to impart this wisdom on people, how open and able are they to absorb it and use it?
You know, here's the thing. I would say that people, especially today, are extremely hungry and looking for new ways to grow and move. I think that COVID, especially with people working from home, people are looking to learn, to grow. And I will say the people that thrive in this environment are the ones that are taking it on fully and completely. So it's, you know, because we're talking today about the Ready Zone specifically because what people will be learning is in the Promax Next program. Mm-hmm. And I would say, look, if you're even thinking about applying for this program or thinking about putting your team in it, it is because you want them to be engaged and to be learning things and to applying them into the workplace that's going to make a major difference. So to answer your question, I feel like people do come to me more open because they, especially now, because people are looking, they're hungry. It's, I can't manage it the way that I've managed it before. It's, you know, it's that old adage about doing the same thing. And, you know, it's the definition of insanity.
Yeah.
So I think that people are, especially because the physicality of work has changed so much. What we did was we did COVID, panic, get people out of the workplace, get them safe, right? Check, we got that right. But the work didn't change. The work only got more. It, for some people, the work got less. Many people, the work tripled. And so then it was a matter of now, I think that we're in a new, a different phase of COVID. People are still working from home, but they're more used to it to a degree. Now the question is, how do we create what I call a portable work culture so that that work environment continues to uplift people so they can get the work done more productively?
Yeah, and I don't even know about continues to uplift people, but it is in a place where it's sustainable, which is something that you talk about. But I think that, you know, the immediate panic and shift to home, people were working on some adrenaline, some, I mean, probably some fear, but that drives adrenaline. All, you know, but then it became sort of a grind. So how do you take it and say, this is actually going to be my reality for a bit. So how do I turn it into something that is sustainable, maybe is occasionally inspirational? It doesn't always feel like, oh my God, all I'm doing is going from my bedroom to my desk. You know, it's a way for it to feel more normal.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because we actually teach something. It's an interesting parallel here to talk about because as an example, as something that we'll be sharing during Promax Next, there is, when we talk about our Pivot Ready Zone, we talk about this very tactical tool that we call creating pivot moments. And here's what I mean, and I think it's a good tool for all of us to learn, which is what we have found is when going through anything, any sustainable changes, how to make it sustainable is these three. Think of it like an equation, okay, which is your perception plus your position plus your performance equals what we call a pivot moment. And here's what I mean. Perception means your emotions. Position means your experience. And performance means the actions you're taking in order to evaluate, to create these what I call pivot moments. So let me be super clear with an example because it will make a lot more sense. So remember, I had a first meeting with an executive coaching client. And one of her intentions for her coaching and for the her growth was that while she was incredibly direct and in your face, there are many issues she sidestepped and she really lacked compassion. People didn't really want to, they worked with her because they had to, but I don't know if they would run to work with her. And this is a senior vice president. And she didn't really know how to meld this compassion with handling prickly issues also. So she said to me, look, you know, my aims is I really want to be collaborative. I want to be compassionate, but I also don't want to lose my level of directness, but I don't want to railroad people and run them over with a lawnmower. But at the end of our meeting, we started reviewing some logistics to the next steps in our coaching engagement, which was to meet with our stakeholder, who's the head of the division. There's a conversation between the three of us. So I did something very, you know, Hollywood, like I'll have my assistant coordinate with your assistant, you know, get us all together. And she said, oh, no, please do everything through me. So I thought this was weird because she's an SVP. One of her goals to elevate to an EVP level. She manages a good number, like 60 people, 70 people, something like that. Quite a number of people. But when we dug in deeper, she said she wanted me to go through her because she doesn't trust her assistant. And she's not sure if she's the right person for the job. So I thought that was kind of curious. So, so we started talking about it. And we started exploring this whole conversation around her perceptions. What were her emotions around her assistant? She said she's really frustrated. She's really disappointed in her. She's really angry. And she said she's kind of actually afraid of taking next steps. But I said to her, okay, well, what's your experience with your assistant? Like when you walk in and you see her, what's your experience with her? And she's like, look, my experience is she's doing a terrible job. She doesn't really have the aptitude to get the job done. She doesn't really have the desire to grow. And she's not doing the work, even though she's had deadlines and those deadlines were follow-up with. And she's like, it's a disaster. So I said to her, okay, now let's talk about your performance. What actions are you taking with your assistant to support your intention of dealing with prickly issues with compassion collaboratively? So she starts laughing. And I was like, she's like, well, I'm talking to my husband about it a lot. So I started laughing, right? It's so normal, right? It's human nature. So if you take the formula that I mentioned before, right? Your perception, like really super negative position, like terrible, doing a terrible job. Her performance, nothing. Except she was, you know, her performance practically was talking to her husband. When we talk about pivot moments is, where is the moment, the actions you're taking to support the change? Like what's the change that you're wanting to make, right? So it wasn't adding up. So when I asked her how long it was going on for, how long do you think this was going on for?
Well, I've already heard the story, so you say, because yes, I know how long.
2 years. Yeah, we've talked about it.
2 years is crazy. Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, so here's the thing. She never did much about it. She simply tolerated the behavior until it was intolerable. And the pain of it becoming intolerable became a place to pivot when we talked about it. So when we say pivot in this moment, what does it mean? Was she examining where she was not effective? Was she examining her part? Were there other opportunities to have a pivot moment earlier? Did she have to wait until she got to a place of intolerance for her to have what we call a pivot moment? So any effective leader looks at yourself first, take responsibility for where you could be the cause in the matter to make adjustments. And that examination is inner work. And that's vital for every leader to do really smartly. But you got to be really clear on your intention, because once she did that formula and she's like, wait a minute, she's laughing and she's like, well, my actions aren't really supporting my outcome. Then we can say, well, what do you need to stop and start doing in order to change this to really have a moment where you can, what do we call pivot moments? And anyone can do it. You don't need a fancy title. You can do it at any time just to stop. And you have to actually stop and say, okay, well, what are my emotions? What's my experience? What are the actions I'm taking? How do they add up? If not, what do I need to stop doing and start doing in order to create a pivot moment away from, and all that is a shift in my vantage point so I can make a change that's really in support of my intention. And once she did, her assistant was moved on to a new role within 2 weeks, and she got a new assistant who's a rock star. And that's how quickly it can happen.
There's a lot I could unpack from that story. Like you'd think, oh, SVP, you know, you're super competent, you're moving at a quick pace, you know, and if you're a decisive person too, you would think that this would be a conversation she was skilled at having, but it just sort of shows we all have blind spots. But one piece that I also think that's interesting, and this is a lot about what you talk about with these principles, which is these ideas of, well, there's trust, respect, safety, but also empathy, compassion, collaboration, all of those things. I mean, you've said this before, that these are all sort of soft, I don't know about skills, soft values, that these aren't spreadsheets and, you know, accounts. These are human emotions, and some people have these things and some people don't. As you go through your program with people, do you find that they're able to find more empathy, find more compassion, be more able to collaborate as they work through these processes with you?
Well, the short answer is yes, of course. Otherwise, this would be very short-lived, but I would say that. The thing is, what's fascinating about COVID as well, to bring us back to that, is that leaders are now, you're finding, if I'm talking to the people who are listening, you're probably finding yourself having conversations with your team you've never had before. The kind of empathy that you're needing to dig deep within yourself is really it, for some people, is a real heavy lift. For other people, it may just be ingrained in their DNA, right? And I remember I had a leader say to me the other day, he's like, oh, I'm exhausted. I feel like I'm being a therapist now when I'm at work. And I said to him, you know, that's really interesting because I wonder if it's less about that, but it's the first time that you're actually talking to people about their emotions. And emotions in the workplace really matter because there's a great tool for everyone. Mark Brackett, who is a research psychologist and the founding director of the Yale Center for Emotional Intelligence at Yale University, talks a lot about that. Because when emotions matter, because they interrupt our attentional capacity, they interrupt our decision-making ability, they impact our relationships, they impact our physical and mental health, and they specifically also impact performance and creativity. So these are all things that are that I find that when people go through the program and will when they go through PROMAX Next, is that they're able to understand that if I index more in this area, I actually get to greater level of performance for myself and for my team.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I think it helps drive people, because some of this work is hard. So I think it helps drive people to want to make that change. Let's talk about some specifics. So what is PROMAX Next? What does the format look like? Who can apply? All that stuff.
PROMAX Next is a program that specifically talks about, I mean, it's a 6-month collaborative leadership program. And it specifically is for folks that are high performers that are in that mid-level, that are dealing with the pressures that we're talking about at right here and now. And it's, you know, it's dealing with issues like, it's for leaders who want to, like what we were talking about, how do you create sustained motivation and inspiration for your team? How do you create these environments of productivity and creativity and innovation when people are working from home? Everyone now has different work-home situations that they're dealing with. How do you also lead newly structured teams? Lots of people in organizations that our intention is for people to participate in PROMAX Next are people in organizations that have restructured, reorganized. Basically, it's everyone in media.
Yeah, totally. Reorganized.
Also, how do you master this momentum and reimagine ways for people to work together? And how do you actually leverage the fact that there is disruption and uncertainty? Because so often do people talk about it as a negative. We want to leverage it as a positive. Well, if things are changing, how do we ride with that? How do we actually leverage it and make it more opportunistic? So what the program is practically, it's a 6-month program. There's 2 90-minute sessions per month. So we meet every other week. And the breakdown of the sessions is one session every month. The reason why, there's no coincidence, 6 months, 6 zone performance indicators. So every month will be themed for one of the zone performance indicators. And one session is going to be focused on a real interactive development workshop that leverages and basically helps you leverage one of the tools from the ZPIs. Then the second session will be bring a challenge or an issue that you're having as a result of working inside of the zone performance indicator. And let's criticize it and define it and give you tools and brainstorm with you and be a collaborative partner for you. And I would almost call it as almost like your own mastermind. So you really, this group that you're taking this journey with for 6 months becomes your thinking partner. You're almost like your personal board of directors. I think you and I have talked about also, Paige. Mm-hmm. And what will happen is out of each session, everyone's going to create some steps that they're doing from one session to the next. So this way it helps you create momentum from one session to the next. And it all applies to your work, because I've had people say to me, well, is the action steps you're expecting from us, is it we're going to be doing something completely divergent from our work? Absolutely not. It will be, you know, if we're talking about Connect Ready, we're talking about how to communicate with people, that's a part of what you have to do every day. So it'll be more nuanced for your role. And every person within the 6 month will get one 90-minute coaching session with me as well that they can leverage at any time. And there's other benefits.
A one-on-one coaching.
A one-on-one. Yeah, and we'll also divide people into what we call zone performance partners, which are pairs so that you can really support each other through the program. So just imagine for 6 months, you get this real, like what we talked about, like your own personal board of directors, advisory board. Then you get this real rich learning. You get individual coaching. You get that work that you're doing in pairs. It's just the level of support to go through what you're going through, especially during this time of disruption, will be unprecedented for folks. And I think you're really going to see an enormous amount of lift in people's performance and productivity. And the great news is that they'll also be able to take all the learnings and be able to shepherd them and show them and leverage them with their teams as well.
Anything else about the details on this, Esther, that you want to share before we wrap?
The other thing I'll say is that I really want, for those of you that are listening today, it really resonates for you. We invite you to really register in it as a way, especially today, to accelerate you personally forging ahead your future, the future of your team, the future of your organization. You know, be selfish. This is around how do you get your mindset straight to really make sure that you can perform at your optimum. Because look, I firmly believe the further you go into mastering these zones and the ready zone is the biggest leg up you're going to have for being and staying relevant and thriving. You know, I remember there was a wise mentor who once said to me, Esther, if you don't do the work, if you don't choose to rise, someone else will. And you would have lost the opportunity to transform yourself and others. So don't miss, really, really, and I mean this, don't miss this opportunity to participate in the program.
That's a great place to end. Don't miss the opportunity. Esther, as always, thank you so much. Love talking to you, and I will talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye, Esther.
Bye.
That's it for this episode of the Daily Brief podcast. If you don't already, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you have comments, questions, or ideas for conversations, please feel free to reach out to us at dailybrief@promax.org. And as always, thanks for listening.